Well, I'm going to continue today, and I really I'm excited about this because Jesus said some things in the scriptures in Mark. He said something when he was sharing about seed time and harvest, and I'm going to talk about the seed today, the power of the seed, and we're talking about the, seed time and harvest. But there's something that Jesus shared in the scriptures that I thought was significant. He said, take heed how you hear and what you hear. And so we need to take heed. And when he used that particular scripture, it in other translations, it talks about how we hear and what we hear. And I'll read it to you before I get started. In the Amplified, in the King James, in Mark 4:24, he said, take heed what you hear, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Sometimes the King James is just a little, it's interesting. We don't talk that way anymore. But the Amplified says, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. That's what Jesus said. He said, not just be careful what you hear, but he said, how you hear and the amount you put into it. Listen to the Living Bible. It says, and be sure to put into practice what you hear. Put into practice what you hear. The more you do this, the more you will understand what I tell you. Boy, that makes it plain. So Jesus, at the end of the parable of the sower, that's what he said. He said, take what I've given you and put it to practice. You see, and as you do, more will be given to you. The truth will be unfolded. Isn't that what Psalm 111, 119, it says, the entrance of his word giveth light, and it giveth understanding to the simple. It unfolds. He unfolds the scripture to us the more we spend time in it. See? So if we're not spending, and I said this last week, the Luke 8, verse 11 says, the seed is the word of God. So if we're not seeing adequate harvest, then we need to look and see, are we sowing enough? Are we spending enough time in the word of God? Because the seed will produce. Anybody who knows that, you go out and you get a packet of seeds, you want to plant tomatoes or cucumbers or corn or whatever it is, if you put that in the ground and given the right conditions, you water it, give it enough sunshine, keep the weeds away so it don't choke it, it's going to produce. It will produce. So when we're talking about the Word of God, there's nothing wrong with the seed, the word of God. It's the ground that's the issue. It's the ground that the seed is put in. So we saw from last week that there were three types of ground that it talked about. It talked about the seed being sown by the wayside, or the New Living says a footpath. That's one type of ground. Another type of ground was rocky soil. Or soil, it was mixed with rocks and soil, didn't have much soil. And the other was soil, it said, that had thorns. But all three of those produced no fruit. It didn't produce anything. Because the ground, the conditions of the ground affected the seed, or the production of the seed. And it was only the good ground that produced some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. So it's never the problem with the seed. It's a problem with the soil. And he goes on, and Jesus unfolded that parable to his disciples. And he said, when he talked about the ground, he's talking about our hearts. And so our hearts, the condition of our hearts, are key. So I'm going to spend a little time here this morning. Not as much time as last week, but I've got some really, I feel God's going to open this up to us a little more. And it'll help us, because this right here, I'm going to say this. This is the key to fruit concerning your success in life, whether that's healing, whether that's prosperity, whether that's family, whether that's personal, whatever it is. This is the key to success right here. It's the seed of God's word being put in our hearts that will produce exactly what's in the word. Because always remember, the seed has the potential in it to produce what it's designed to produce. And so the seed, being the word of God, is designed. What does the scripture say? It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. To what? To everyone that believeth. So if we believe, then the seed, believing is a condition of the heart. So if we believe and we keep that watered, it'll produce. Hallelujah. I want to open up today and let's look at 1 Corinthians, two openings. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. 19. And then we're going to back up from there to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. But first we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20. I want us to look at this. I'll wait a moment for you to get there. It's good to look at the scripture with these little eyes, eye gates. Amen. And verse 19, it says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is where? In you, which ye have of God. And look what it says. And ye are not your own. Say, I'm not my own. It says, for you are bought with a price. Thank God. Therefore, glorify God, what? In your body. You're to glorify God in your body. And what? And in your spirit, which are God's. So God owns me. I'm his property. What is? My body and my spirit. I don't own them. So whatever we do, we should glorify God, what? In our body and in our spirit, we should glorify God. Because we don't own ourselves. He holds the deed, you could say. He holds the title deed. And really, when you think about it, what does it say in 1 Corinthians? When he returns, what? If he didn't own this body, I wouldn't be resurrected, would I? But he said, when he returns, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those which remain shall be caught up in the air to ever be with him, to be with him and to be with him. So we are his property. And when he returns, he's going to come back and get it, as they say, right? He says, you're mine, come back with me. But now let's go to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 6, and we're talking about Jesus had a lot to say in his ministry about things that they could understand, harvesting, seed, growing, those kind of things, because they were farmers. They planted, they harvested, they knew what he meant, and he spoke in parables. But now look what Paul said here to the church at Corinth, talking about seeds and harvest. Look what he says in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said, I have planted, What he's talking about planting here. And look, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Isn't that interesting? So when you look at just that right there in verse 6, there's planting. See, in order for a harvest to come, there needs to be planting, there needs to be watering, and then the increase, right? So there's got to be planting, there's got to be watering, and then the increase. So Paul said, I planted, right? What does that mean? That means he went somewhere nobody else went. He was an apostle. He planted something, right? And then Apollos came in after him and did what? He watered. But God gave the increase. And then it says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. So we can't think, well, I'm special, I plant, and I'm special, I water, right? No, it says this is the same. You're all the same. You're one. It's God that give the increase. And he said, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. See, this is our harvest. This is our harvest time, right? And then look at 9, verse 9. For we are laborers, what? Together with God. Now, I like the King James. We don't talk like this because we say, like, what was he talking about? Ye are God's husbandry. What the heck does that mean, right? Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Well, husbandry, if you look it up, it just means field or garden. That's what it means. And if you look at the New Living Translation, verse 9, it says, for we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. So husbandry means a garden or a field. So what's the field? What's the garden? Your spirit. Your spirit is the field. Your spirit is the garden. Hallelujah. And so that means ye are God's husbandry. My field is my spirit. That's the husbandry. That's the field, right? So God bought us with a price. What did he buy? He purchased us. He redeemed my spirit, which was what? Separated from God because of sin. So now I've been purchased by the blood of Jesus, and now I'm in the what? In the body of Christ. I've been delivered from darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So that means now I'm part of the body of Christ. This spirit is his garden that he does what? What was, think about it, what was God's purpose? To redeem us, because God is a spirit and he communicates to us in our spirit by who? The Holy Spirit who lives in us. So his whole design was that his word is the seed. And his word has God's DNA impregnated in it. You know, if you think about, and if you look at this particular word, I'll jump ahead here, but there's a scripture that is used that talks about the word of God being, I'll just share this here. You can turn over to 1 John 3:9. I'm just going to jump to this scripture here. When we talk about seed, it's 1 John 3:9. Just wait a moment for you to get there. It says, whosoever is born of God, see, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. I think the New Living Translation makes that a little clearer. It says, those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. His seed is in them. That's more clear. It doesn't mean we're not going to miss it. It just means you don't practice it. You're not comfortable if you miss it. That's what that means. Why? Because his seed remaineth in me. It's in me. Now that word seed in that scripture verse is the Greek word sperma, which is where we get the word sperm from. Now, you know anything about reproduction, that the sperm has the DNA character from what? The father. So his word is the sperm that's been injected into our spirit. It has literally God's nature and power and his character in the word of God. So when that came into my spirit, I can't do what I used to do because he's in me now. And so if I get enough of God's word, see, we always say this. We were talking about this last week. What is a word? A word is a container of your thoughts. It's a thought container. What do I mean by that? You can't see a thought. You can't touch a thought. You can't see a thought. All you can see is the effect of a thought. You can't see fear. You can see the effect of fear. You can't see worry. You can see the effect of it. You can't see joy, but you can see the effect of it. So the thoughts are expressed in our words. That's why when we say it's so important what you read, what you listen to, what you watch, because somebody expressed words of what they were thinking in music, in lyrics, and all of that. So when we receive those words, we're receiving the spirit of what motivated that person. You see, and that's what makes it so, I call it dangerous as to what we allow into our spirits. Because if somebody was motivated by a wrong thing, by a wrong spirit, then you're allowing that into your spirit because they're expressing it. They're voicing it. They're taking words and expressing that. Just the same way, if you don't like somebody, you say, I don't like that person. Well, the words convey what you thought, the spirit of what you have towards that person, right? And that's what I'm talking about. Words are containers of thoughts that we have. So words are, when I say another way, thoughts are spiritual. Thoughts are spiritual. So now let's take that and let's shift that and look at it from the Word of God. God had some thoughts, didn't he? God had some thoughts about mankind. God has some thoughts about how he feels about certain things, doesn't he? And he expressed that when he spoke. Jesus said, I'd only do what I hear my Father say or do. See, so he saw the Father do something, he heard the Father say something, and he expressed that in words. He didn't just think it, he just say, God bless you, in thoughts. No, he spoke those, and so God's word is impregnated. That's why the scripture says in Romans 1:16, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Seeds, the word, for it, the seed of the word of God. The seed, the word of God is the power of God unto salvation. So the word of God is impregnated. It's infused with love. It's infused with power. It's infused with healing. It's infused with his nature because it came out of him. And when we take that word and we let it get planted and watered and watered and watered, it'll produce that. We'll begin to think like God. We'll begin to act like him. We'll begin to do like him. Why? Because it's producing a harvest. Everybody understand this? So that's why I say this is important for us personally, because if we don't see the kind of harvest that we read about in the book, you know, we say, everything I touch is blessed. And we go, yeah, that's nice for you to say, but I sure ain't. Well, that would be like a farmer who's got a bag of seeds and going, yeah, right. I ain't planting because I just don't see how. See, well, the farmer already knows through experience and other natural things, he knows if he plants that seed, he's going to get a harvest. No farmer would plan to buy and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to plant and wait for a harvest and buy all kinds of combines and equipment to harvest something that they didn't believe was going to produce. We have to have as much faith in the scripture that it is the seed of God. It is the word of God, and it will produce. It may take some time, but one thing Brother Hagin said when he was alive, I'll read this to you because it was really significant. This is what he said. He said, why people don't get better results in their faith. This is what he said. He said, the reason is because they reject the watering process. This is an interesting observation from him. He said, when they hear the word the first time, they are excited and rejoice. This is the planting process. The second and third time, our minds want to say, I know that already. We've all been there. I know that scripture. He said, they reject the watering process or the repetition process. He said, there is planting. That's what Paul said. There's watering. That's what Apollos did. And then there's increase. So there has to be planting, then there has to be watering. Is watering glamorous? No. You come and listen to it over and over and over and over and over. And you go, I've heard that. Yeah, but it's watering. You keep watering the seed, and at some point, there's an increase. God gives the increase. And so if we're not seeing a harvest yet, keep watering. Just keep watering, keep watering, keep watering, keep watering, keep watering, and there'll be a harvest. You know, I always use this example because it blesses me. You know, and others, hers is significant, but the young girl that in the family that was with us years ago, they relocated out to Oklahoma. They became a part of the Rhema Bible Church. They went to the Bible college there. And Jessica, who's a little short, Jessica, she's still short. She's in her 20s. That's just the way she is. Nothing against short people, she's just short. But she's spunky. She got a lot of fire. I like it. And so she had an issue with her pancreas and she had to wear a pump. She couldn't just inject or do things with a needle or a pen or whatever periodically. She had to have a pump that she wore all the time to inject insulin into her pancreas. And so when she was out of Bible school, she went every day after Bible school was from 8:30 to 12:30. And when she got done, 1 o'clock, she went for 2 years straight when she was there. She went to prayer and healing school every day, watering, 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 every day for 2 years. And she said after 2 years, when I saw her dad a couple years ago, we were out and said, hey, how's things going? Da, da, da. And we, of course, we saw Jess and we saw his family. But he said, oh, things are going good. He said, Jess's pancreas just started to work. They just started to work. Well, pancreas just don't start to work. There was a harvest. And it was planting and watering and watering and watering and watering and consistent watering and watering and watering and watering. Harvest. her pancreas started to work. She pulled that pump off. She don't need it. And so that's what I'm talking about, that I don't care what it is we're faced with in life. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so our faith in the seed, it is the power of God to everyone, power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believes. And I've got to believe. I got to believe that the seed and the watering of the seed will produce a harvest. So we determine our own harvest. What do we mean by that? The scripture, just think about this. I just read this scripture, 2 Corinthians 9:6. He which soweth sparingly, that's why I mean we determine our own harvest. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You sow a little bit, you reap a little bit. You sow a lot, you'll reap a lot. So the watering, you've got to keep sowing and watering and sowing and watering. So here's the point I'm making in this. You cannot sow a little bit and expect to reap a harvest, a bountiful harvest. You can't sow a little and expect to reap a bountiful harvest. And you also can't sow a lot and expect to reap a little. Doesn't work that way. It says, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. But he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. So the seed will produce. Isn't that what it says in Galatians 6? It says, be not weary in well-doing, for you will reap if you faint not. So we not faint. Don't faint. Don't faint. Don't faint. Keep watering. Keep watering. Keep watering. Keep watering. Keep the seed in your spirit. Don't disturb it. Keep it in there. Keep it watered. And God will give the increase. Now let's go over. I want to look at Matthew 13, 18. And then we're going to go over to Luke chapter 8. But I want to look at Matthew 13 first. Matthew 13. I trust you're getting something out of this and thinking about it, because I'm telling you, it excites me. The seed of God's word will produce. It will produce. It will produce. And the seed, sometimes we need to say that. Thank you, Father. The seed of God's word is in me. The seed is in me. The seed is in me. The seed of prosperity is in me. The seed of health is in me. The seed of God's word is in me, and it's working. It's working in me. It's working in me. Matthew 13 and verse 18. I'm going to read from the King James Version. This is the parable of the sower. And if you back up at the beginning of that chapter, he was talking to the people that came to hear him, but he spoke in parables. He was speaking in parables. Now, in verse 16, the disciples were saying to him, Lord, what does that mean? And then this is what he does. He's unfolding it to them, or we say in the vernacular today, he was unpacking it for them. So, verse 18, he says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received seed into stony places, now he's talking about a different kind of ground, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Verse 21, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is what? Offended. Verse 22, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Now let's jump over to Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 4, because I think this will help unfold this a little bit and help us. Because when it said he sown seed by the wayside, and the person that understandeth it not, he said, Satan cometh immediately and taketh that which was sown in his heart. And you go, how can Satan do that? He can't. He can't do that. And I think you have to, you know, there's a term, you judge scripture, you look at scripture with other scripture. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. So you look at scripture and you interpret scripture with scripture, not with your opinion. You have to look at scripture and look at other scripture to see what does that mean. So now let's look at Luke chapter 8 and let's look at verse 4. And he said, when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city. This is Luke chapter 8, and I'm reading from the King James. He spake by a parable. So I backed up a little bit. I wanted to look at, what did he say in the parable? See? So he said, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was what? Trodden down. Now the New Living says stepped on. And it says, and the fowls of the air devoured it. See, so now he's speaking in a parable, but further down, as we'll get down, he's saying that, in this case, he said, they didn't understand it, and the devil took the word that was in their hearts. Now, I just looked up the word trodden down. What does that mean? You know, if you ever walked on a path, a footpath, you can see there's no grass on it most times, unless you're starting something from fresh. But most times, if it's been walked on enough, the ground is hard. If seed fell on it, it's not really penetrating. It's just sitting on the top, and the birds come and devour it up, right? So we could say the ground is hard, right? Well, what are we talking about? The ground represents what? In Jesus' term, our hearts. So if your heart is hard to something that's shared, what does that mean? It's rejected. It's rejected. Well, that's why the devil can come and take it. Because you rejected something that was presented. Now, this word trodden down means just exactly that. If you look that word up in the Greek, it says to trample down, and it says figuratively to reject with disdain. So that means if I disdain something, that means I have contempt towards it. Here's synonyms. Disrespect. I look down on it. I snub it. See, so that's what happened here. The seed was trodden down. The word was presented, and you go, what does it say? The preaching of the cross is what? Foolishness to them that are perishing. But to us, it's the power of God. So somebody who's shared the word of God and the ground is hard, it says it's trodden down. That's what happened here. That's why the devil came in and took the word that was sown, because it was disdained. Right? They thought it was foolishness. And that's what happened here. And so let's continue. Verse 6, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it what? It lacked moisture. See, here we go back to what I was saying. Paul said what? Paul said, I have planted, and Apollos said, I have watered. So here you have two key things here. Number one, by the wayside, it didn't get planted. And on this second situation here, it did get planted, but it lacked moisture. It lacked watering. Watering, right? It lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit and hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now he goes on and he said, now the parable is this. This is verse 11, because the disciples are asking him, what doth this mean? He said, now the parable is this. The seed, in verse 11, the seed is the word of God. See, he's telling the disciples now. He's talking in parables about seed. Now he's telling the disciples, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. See, and then you could say, and they reject it, because it goes on and it says, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The reason is that they didn't believe. They rejected it. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with what? With joy. And these have no root, which for a while they believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, that means they act upon it, and bring forth fruit with what? With patience. So we can see here that there's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the seed. It's the soil. It's the condition of the soil. And so I'm looking at this saying, okay, there's something that God spoke to me years ago, and I always talk about this, and I, as much as I lieth within me, I try to exercise it. But I was receiving a harvest, a continual harvest, in the area of health in my body, health and healing. But there was an area of my life when it came to prosperity and finances that I wasn't seeing the same kind of results. So we can see in all of our lives, there's areas that's good ground. And then there's some areas that may be hard or rocky soil or thorny. And we need to examine that and see, okay, am I getting results in this area? And if not, then we need to take, you know, whatever action we need to take, because the seed will produce. If I'm not seeing the kind of results or the harvest, then I need to make a correction. I need to do something, because God's word will work. So he spoke to me years ago, and he said, I never voiced it. I'm wondering, why am I not seeing the harvest of prosperity in my life? And this is what he spoke to me in a time of prayer and just laughter. He said, if you'll work the word in the area of finances, like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. Well, boy, I'll tell you, it got my attention. And I immediately started making some corrective action. And I began to see results. Because I began to work the word. What do I mean by that? I believed it in my heart, and what I believed in my heart, I began to say with my mouth. I began to release words of faith saying, I believe this. And it took a while to see the change, but it started to change. Because I've got to release words that I believe. I've got to say it. I've got to keep it. I can't disdain. I can't say, oh, that's not working. That's not working. As a man thinketh, so is he. So I made those changes. And so I began to see change. And the word of God, as we know from Hebrews 4:12, it says the word of God is what? It's this, and we could say the word of God when we just got done reading is what? The seed. The seed is the word of God. So Hebrews 4:12, when it says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, we could say the seed is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The seed will produce. The seed will produce. It has to. And, you know, we always look at this, you know, when we talk about some of the biggest challenges that we face sometimes. I'm not saying it's the biggest, maybe not for you, but for some, in just interacting in society with people, interacting with people in church, is walking in love towards someone. Somebody say something or look at you the wrong way or don't talk to you in the morning or don't do something, you get upset because the flesh wants to get even. We live in this flesh which is not redeemed. And so the seed of God's word will produce what? His nature in us if we keep the seed in our hearts and we do what? Practice it. So that means what? When somebody in a setting where maybe it's not where you would normally respond in a loving way, you respond in a loving way. And as you do that, you're giving God something. You're working the word in you, and you're keeping the seed. You know, bitterness can tear up the seed that's been planted and short circuit. What does that say? It says, what have we just got done reading? It said, seed that's sown in thorny ground where the cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches. Well, cares can also be that too. You could bundle that up in that, and the cares would be, you know, I just have all these cares, all these worries, and then you bundle in with that how people treat me and all of that, and that does what? It chokes the word. It strangles it. It can strangle a crop of love. You know, maybe you felt that you were abused or not handled properly as a child. You know, people carry that their whole life. And then they begin to have a negative outlook on life. And it does what? It chokes the word. It chokes the fruit of the word. Everybody understand that? So now let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. I'll tell you, this is so exciting to me because there's no limits where the seed is concerned. There's no limits. God did not say, oh, you can only have so much of a harvest. You think about this, that one seed can produce multiple plants which produce multiple seeds, which produce and on and on and on. If you let one seed grow enough, it could feed a nation over time. So now how much? So there's no limit, is there? And there's no limit where God's word is concerned. There's no limit on the seed, the production of the seed. So Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20, it says, my son, attend to what? My words. Attend to the seed. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Incline thine ear unto the seed. The word of God. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Let what not depart? The seed. Keep them, the seed, in the midst of thine heart, for they are what? Life unto those that find them, and what? Health to all their flesh. Keep what? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What is Proverbs 18, 20, 21? It says, death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I like this in the Amplified. It talks about they are life unto those that find them, and healing and health to all their flesh. You know, if you have sickness in your body, you need healing. But then there's health, walking in divine health. So that's what it talks about in the King James, life and health. Health in the margin in the King James means medicine. It's life and medicine to my flesh, all my flesh. So the Word of God, if I get enough of God's medicine in me, it'll cause organs to work that aren't working properly. It has to. If I get enough of God's Word, it'll make hearts work properly that weren't working. It'll make lungs work. It'll make kidneys work. It'll make pancreas work. It'll make parts work that don't work properly right now. I mean, we have one of our elders down in Nanuet. Her daughter, you know, when her husband and then this daughter, her dad, passed away last year, and we were doing the memorial service. And we were having a repast near the church, and she said, you know, I'm going back to Texas. She said, you know, and I didn't really know all of her conditions. She hadn't shared it, but she said, I'm going to go back to Texas. She said, I have fourth stage cancer, and I'm going to go back. I said, oh, okay. She said, I don't want to go to this doctor up here anymore. Up here, he's negative. I said, okay. So she's spunky, so she said, I'm going to drive back. I said, who's going with you? She said, myself. I'm just getting a car and go. So she took, you know, 3 days or whatever and made her trek back to Texas. And so she got there and so forth. And we saw her in February when we were out at Winter Bible Seminar in Tulsa at the Rhema Convention. And so she came up beaming, and she was just so rejoicing, said, praise God, you know. And she said, I went to the doctor. They can't find one trace of cancer in my body. Not even one. Not even one. Now, we saw her in the fall, somewhere around October, and then we saw her in February. And she told me, she said, the doctors didn't do nothing. She said she just couldn't go to this doctor in New Jersey because she said he was negative. He said, if you don't do this, if you don't follow my treatment, you're going to die. And she said, you know, that's when sometimes you need to trodden down it and say, thank you very much, but I have a word from God. No. What word from God? I have his word. That I am healed. Now, don't get in the ditch also, and that also means don't not go to the doctor and don't not follow his directions. But there are some times, I know for me, back in 2000, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. I had been in pain for about a year, still singing. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me when I was in the shower. I just, you know, as they say, motoring along in the shower, just enjoying it. And I heard right down here, very softly, not, I heard a very still, small voice. This is what I heard. If you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of this year. Now, this is July. So this is what I did. July, August, September, October, November, December. That's 6 months. Ooh. So I waited 2 weeks. because I was still, I was so free. I said, I have this. I believe God. And then finally I said, fool, that was the Holy Ghost, and he knows more than you. So I did. I went to the doctor, and the first, I actually went to the emergency room, and they gave me some medicine, and then they said, go see this specialist who was the head specialist in the hospital. So I went, and the first visit I said, he's an idiot, and I decided not to go back. I really did, because all he did was speak negative. He spoke negative. And I did, I really did. I left, and I left out, and I never went back. And then at that time, I spoke with Pastor Sarah, and she said to me, she said, have you ever gone to this person? And I said, no. She said, well, maybe you might want to have, just go see him. And he was a chiropractor, but he was a nutritionist. And I went to him, and as soon as I walked, and the reason I stopped, don't get me wrong with this, the reason I stopped going to that first doctor, didn't feel right. It was something that just didn't feel right. It was a check. So when I kid and I say he was an idiot, no, I just had a direction. It didn't feel right. So I didn't go back. But the minute I walked into this gentleman's office, he started to speak positive words. He said, I'll have your stomach turned around in 2 weeks. And I'm like, really? I didn't say that. And so when he looked at me, this is what he said to me. He was in his 70s. He said, boy, because he must have seen my expression. He said, boy, do you know how many of these I've done in my career? I said, no, sir. He said, thousands. I said, okay, I'll listen. And I'm no joke. In 2 weeks, he had my stomach turned around. And now I went to a specialist in a hospital who should have told me some of these things. But this is what this gentleman told me. I had an issue in my stomach. He said to me, do you know that if you stop putting food in your stomach, it'll heal in 5 days? I said, no, I didn't know that. Now, why wouldn't a specialist tell you that? And you walk out the door, and he didn't tell me what to eat, what not to eat. I could have gone and had an enchilada or whatever, or a coffee or whatever, and my stomach's in turmoil. And he just said, here, take this. And this gentleman, who was a nutritionist, said, do you know your stomach will heal in 5 days? So this is what he did. He put me on basically liquid puree, and I did that for 5 days, and my stomach started to, I could feel it. And in 2 weeks, now I lost a lot of weight. I was a skin bean. I said, Doc, I'm going to fold away to nothing. He said, no, you're going to be fine. In 2 weeks, he said, your stomach's 80% there. And in 6 months, never, you wouldn't have known I had it. My point in all of that is that it's key, if you are going to get some assistance, it's key who you see. And you need to follow your spirit. If it doesn't feel right, don't do it. And I said to this doctor that I saw, I asked him, after about 6 months, I said to him, I said, can I ask you a question? I said, how serious was this? This is what he said to me. He said, if you had waited one more week, they would have opened you up. And I knew right then and there, if they had opened me up, it would have gone downhill. So the key is, when we talk about this, God's word has healing in it. God's word has love in it. God's word has prosperity in it. And we've got to take the seed of the word and get it in our spirit and water it and water it. And I don't care what you've walking through. You may not be as prosperous as you want to be. Your body may not have the health that you want it to have right now. But if you'll look at the potential of the seed and get it in your spirit and listen to it and keep it before your eyes and keep it in your ears and can keep watering it and watering it, it will change your conditions. It'll change it. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it'll change it. I'm going to give you another scripture. 2 Peter 1:3, it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things, what? All things that pertain unto life and godliness through what? The knowledge of him, the seed. So the seed will provide unto us all things that pertain to what? Life and godliness. And it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. It's the seed of God's word. That by these great and precious promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me read this. I want everybody to look at this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13. And you follow along in whatever version. I'm going to read this from the King James. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. It says, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Look at the next word. Because when you received the seed, when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it, the planting. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Now look at this. Which what? Effectually worketh. Say effectually worketh. It effectually worketh where? Also in you that what? That believe. Oh my gosh. We received the word of God, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. We received it, and it says, it effectually worketh in us that believe. The seed is effectually working in me. The seed is working in me. It's effectually working in me. Why? Because I believe. I believe. The seed is working. The seed of prosperity is working. The seed of health and healing is working. The seed of love is working. The seed is working in me. Why? Because I believe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me read this. This is something that I extracted out of a book called Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. And let me just read this. This is quite significant here. He's talking about healing here, but the significance of this is talking about what we're talking about here, the seed, the word of God. This is what he said. We should realize, I'm quoting from F.F. Bosworth here, we should realize that the five senses belong to the natural man and that they were given to us to be used for the things of this world. So God gave us five senses to help us navigate and to function where? In this world. What we see, what we hear, what we taste, what we smell, what we feel. So these things were given to us to help us in this world. This is what he said. But the things of God cannot be discerned, appropriated, and known by the natural senses. So the things of God cannot be determined or appropriated by our five physical senses. This is what he's saying. So he said here, no physical sensation such as pain, weakness, or sickness can ever be a good reason for doubting the fulfillment of any divine purpose. Oh, man. That's powerful. That's powerful. No physical sensation such as pain, weakness, or sickness can ever be a good reason for doubting the fulfillment of any divine purpose. Because the five senses were not given to us to know or to appropriate God's word. It has to be believed and received by faith. That's not senses. And he goes, how foolish it would be to doubt the promise of Christ's second coming because I felt sick or weak. It's going to come, whether you're sick or weak or not. So your five senses is not a good reason to doubt his second coming. He said, and if pain is not a good reason for doubting one promise, it is not a good reason for doubting any promise. God is just as faithful to one promise as to another. Therefore, it is equally as foolish to doubt God's promise to heal because of pain or any disagreeable feeling as it is to question Christ's second coming because of these things. So we can't doubt one portion of Scripture because of how we feel. That's what he's saying. He goes on to say, Satan cannot hinder the seed from doing its work unless we allow him to get the seed out of the ground. He can only do this by getting you to turn your attention away from the Word of God to your circumstances or symptoms. God's Word will produce. He said that seed which is sown in good ground will produce some 30, some 60, and some hundredfold. So Satan cannot hinder. What does it say? Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. He gave the increase. Hallelujah. So the seed, just a couple of scriptures here. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word, thy seed is settled in heaven. The word is settled. The seed is settled. It will produce. It will produce. It has to. You know, the you could say it another way, the victory is in your mouth. The victory is in your mouth. You're going to have to speak victory. Speak the word. Keep watering it. Keep watering it, and it'll produce. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hope you're taking this in, because this is the key, as I call it. Jesus said, take heed how you hear, what you hear. So we need to take this to heart and keep. Don't let the devil say, it's not working. He's a liar. It is working. And first of all, God wouldn't tell you, no, it's not working. He's not going to tell you, oh, no, it's not working. No, but your enemy would. The thief would. The thief cometh what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's come to steal the word, steal something from you, right? He does. Think about this. The devil knows. That's why he's so fearful of those, and so why there's so much opposition to people when there's just the planting. And he can get to people to do what? To not water. The seed that fell in the rocky soil, it said it lacked moisture. So if he can get us to not water and just say, or we get offended at something. He knows, the devil knows, he knows that the seed will produce. He can't stop the seed from producing. He can get you to tear it up or to get offended or to not water. But the seed will produce. That's what it said. So if we just stick to that, we're going to see harvests that just will literally astound you. And sometimes it may take years, but if you stick with it, you're going to see harvest. You're going to see harvest in every area of your life. And he's going to try to get you offended. He's going to try to get you off it. It's something he'll throw at you. And you just got to remember or remind yourself, no, the seed is effectually working in me because I believe. The seed is effectually, I received it as the seed, the word of God, not from men, but from God. And it's effectually working in me. It's working in me. It's working in me. It's working in me. Love is working in me. Prosperity is working in me. Health is working in me. Healing is working in me. And you just keep that ever before, keep it in your mind, it will transform you. And truly everything that you touch will be blessed. Amen. Glory to God. Let's look at one scripture, then I'm going to pray. Let's go over to Joshua 1:8. Because I think this is appropriate here. Joshua 1:8. Talking about the seed, the word of God, look what 1:8 says. It says, this book of the law. Well, you're talking about the word of God, the seed. It says, shall what? Not depart where? Out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That's what Proverbs 4:20 was talking about. Keep it before your eyes. Keep it in your ears. Meditate on it. Act on it. And this says here, meditate day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. What? Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Hallelujah. Some say deal wisely. Some, that's what my margin says, you'll deal wisely. Some translations say that you'll deal wisely in the affairs of life. You'll know what to do in every situation. Hallelujah. And why is that? Because I've kept the seed before me. I've meditated on it. I've observed to do it. I've spoken it. I'm listening to it. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. But he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Shall. Hallelujah. You know, I'm convinced of this. As the body goes, so goeth the health of the church. You know, if the devil can keep people defeated in their minds, then it hinders how far-reaching churches can go and the extent of what they can do. If people have a low estimation of themselves, then that means they're having a crop failure. But the more people are blessed, the more money they have, the more things they have, the more they can do for the gospel. Does everybody understand that? It's not to consume it upon ourselves. You know, if you're blessed, it's like water going through a pipe. You enjoy the water. You're going to be blessed. There's things that you'll have. But the abundance is to be what? To be used to spread the gospel. So if the devil can keep people in crop failure, it can hinder the reach of a church. It just does. And so that's why it's important. Jesus kept teaching this, so that they would be what? Prosperous in everything they do. They'd walk in health. Walk in prosperity. Amen. Glory to God.